Thank you. Okie doke. Can you hear me? If I don't pick up the mic, we're okay. Good. Okay. Okie doke. Well, lots of you already know who I am, but lots of you don't. So I'll start by telling you a little bit about me. Then we'll pray, and then we'll try and drill into what God's got for us this afternoon. But before I do that, I feel really privileged to be here. It's funny how God weaves the tapestry of your life, isn't it? Because I spent a long time in this church, very active within the church for 30 years, and then God had other plans and moved us on. But it's a real privilege to connect with Nenna and with Dosie and to actually come back and be part of your ladies' weekend. I'm really blessed to be asked, so thank you for that. So I'm Bev, I'm 50. You meant to go, wow, look about 21. I was, you know, quite perturbed earlier on when I met a lovely lady who told me that my mum and I look like sisters. So I'm not quite sure whether that means I'm young or she's old, I don't know, but anyway, I'll be the way around. I actually work full time, I'm an assistant head teacher at a school in Widnes, a church school, which is great. I teach 5-year-olds, that's why I dye my hair, because I'm quite grey underneath all of this. Married to Roy, who is also a Christian. Being Christian myself since I was 15, came to faith at the Eric Delve Down to Earth mission, which some of you might remember. I've got 2 children, Jess, who is 26, also walking really closely with God, which is brilliant. And Jack, who's 22, who we love a lot, and he's just walking his own path at the moment, but we absolutely trust God that he will have him back. So that's a little bit about who I am and what I'm about. So we'll just pray, if that's okay, before we start. Dear Father God, I just thank you for just this time apart with you today. I just thank you that we are all in this room, your precious daughters, and that you love each and every one of us so dearly, that you've got good plans for us, God. Plans to bless us and to prosper us and not to harm us. And so I just pray, Lord, that you will just take my words over this next little while and just make them your words, God, that you'll prepare our hearts to hear what it is you've got to say to us this afternoon. And that we'll go out of this place today knowing that we've absolutely spent time in your presence. And I pray these things in your precious name. Amen. So I've not got a really exciting PowerPoint. I do apologise, but I have got a Tesco bag for life full of things that I'm going to show you later on. So I apologise, you'll have to look at me. But also, I do want you to talk to each other, and I'm going to try and make the session a bit interactive, because I'm conscious that you've all had lots of hot pots, so you're probably feeling a bit sleepy now. So I don't want to bore you, so we're going to talk. I want us to think a little bit about decisions. Nenna asked me to speak about a woman's choice. And we heard lots this morning about a woman's counsel, didn't we? And how we can influence what goes on in our homes, in our streets, in our workplaces, in our relationships. But this afternoon, the theme is a woman's choice. And when I was preparing for it and praying about what God wanted me to speak about this afternoon, I thought about the hundreds of decisions that we make every single day. Even before you leave the house in the morning, actually before you even put your feet on the side of the bed, before you get out of bed in the morning, you are making decisions. So as any good, you know, modern woman would do, I researched it on the internet, so it must be true, because I found it on Google. And I found out that apparently we make 35,000 decisions a day. 35,000 decisions, that's a lot of decisions, isn't it? And it even can be, for me today, shall I blow my nose now, or shall I wait until Catherine stops speaking? Because that would be really rude. So those decisions that we make, that you do without even thinking about, we're constantly making decisions. So again, I looked on the internet, and it said that if we allow 6 hours for sleep, so most of us sleep 6 to 8 hours a day, if we allow 6 hours for sleep, that means that we make 1,944 decisions every hour. I mean, that is some maths, isn't it? That blows your mind, really. Every hour, we make 1,944 decisions. So this is a bit where you've got to interact with me now, otherwise I'll look really lonely up here on the front. So I want you just to have a little think and shout out some of the decisions that you make before you even leave the house in the morning. I'll start. Shall I have a shower or shall I leave my hair till this evening? That's one I always make. And I always make a decision to wash my hair because I can't go out the house before I washed it. So there you go. That's one of my decisions. So what else do we decide? Go on, Tracy.
Should we have tea or a coffee?
Tea or a coffee. Really important decision. Yeah. What do you choose usually?
It varies.
It varies. Yeah, it varies. Yeah, big decision.
Cereal or toast.
Cereal or toast. Gosh, wow, you have time for breakfast in your house. I wish I did.
Should I take the dog on a long walk or a short walk?
Yeah, another important decision. Long walk or short walk? Have I got time? Did I leave? Get out of bed early enough for a long walk or a short walk? Any more? Yeah, that's a massive one, isn't it? I have days where it's easy and days where I get everything out of the wardrobe. And my husband says, what? I've got a meeting today and I don't know whether it's this skirt or this skirt. And they're really important decisions, aren't they? Or they seem to be. So yeah, none of those decisions that we make generally are life-changing, are they? You know, if Claire takes the dog for a long walk or a short walk, that's not really going to affect things like Brexit or, you know, it's not really going to... But, you know, they are decisions, aren't they? So I made a decision a few years ago, well, a good few years ago, as a new driver. When I first passed my driving test, I wasn't confident to drive in my own shoes. So I used to have a pair of driving shoes. They were the shoes I felt safe driving in. And this particular day, I thought, do you know what, I'm going to leave my driving shoes on. They're a bit tatty, but I'm going to walk around the shops in St Helens in my driving shoes, because that's how good I was feeling that day. So Mum and I, she's smiling because she remembers the story. We walked around the town centre, and I got back to the car and I looked down in horror at my feet because I was wearing one brown shoe and one blue shoe. Not a good decision. But what was even worse than that, and if you can just picture this, I was wearing one shoe that was quite a flat heel and one shoe that wasn't so flat. So goodness knows what I must have looked like walking around town. And, you know, but anyway, that was a decision that I made. I should have probably kept my shoes on and not swapped for my driving shoes. I don't know. It didn't change my life, but it was a bit embarrassing. And my mum laughed for about 6 months about that. So, yeah, it did give her a laugh. But other decisions can be life-changing, can't they? They can have a massive impact on our life. They really, really can. The things that we do, the choices that we make can really send us off in one direction or another. And I got to thinking about that last week. It's funny how God puts things in your path as you're preparing for something like this. And I was driving to school one day last week, and I don't know the name of the roads, I'm rubbish in geography, but I go up a few country lanes, windy roads, every day, the same route. And sometimes I'll pass no traffic, other times I'll pass oncoming vehicles, and it's a farmy sort of area, so I'm driving to the side to let bigger cars come past me. And this particular day, one morning last week, I was driving the route I always drive, at the time I always drive, and I witnessed a car accident, quite a nasty one, right in front of me, and it just made me realise, I think probably what you two were saying before about the impact of that life-changing second, that this life is all we've got, actually. And, you know, we've got to live every second our best life for God, haven't we? That driver of that car that was hit, it wasn't his fault, it was just an accident. He didn't know when he left the house making his 1,944 decisions, he didn't know that that was going to be his journey that day. I was quite shook up, because when you realise, if I'd have left the house 3 seconds earlier, that could have been me, because literally it was that close to where I was. I was literally the next person in line to witness the accident. And, you know, these decisions, now that could have had a real negative effect on his life, I suppose. And it just makes you think about the time that we spend, that we spend it wisely. So I want you to talk to each other now. So I'm not going to ask you to move into groups, but perhaps just chat to the person next to you, just for a little minute, about a decision that you might have made that kind of acted positively or negatively on your life. You don't need to share it with the bigger group if you don't want to. But if you feel brave enough, that would be lovely, because I do think there's power in people's stories as well, because, you know, our stories are living out what God has planned for us. So if you just chat, so a decision that could be a positive one, it could be a negative one, something that's impacted on your life, the direction that you've gone off in. And I'll give you 2 minutes, okay, just to chat. Thank you. Okie doke, have we all had a chance to have a little chat?
Yeah.
You just bring your conversation to a bit of a close now, that'd be great. Okay, there's always a danger in saying to a room full of ladies, talk to the person next to you, isn't there? I should have known. Okie dokie. Stop chatting, mother. Yes, we can. Yeah, okay, great, thank you. Okie doke. Isn't it lovely just to share with your fellow sisters in Christ? Because we don't get enough time just to share our stories, do we? And it's really special. Does anyone feel brave enough to share with the bigger group? Do you? Can I? Is this portable? Can I pick this up? Oh, yeah, of course. There you go. I'll come to you.
I don't think I can do.
You don't?
The decision I took was to get closer to God. You know, I used to be very strong in the Lord, and sometimes I just relaxed. Just once in a while, pray. Sometimes I don't even go to church. I'm not in the mood, and things were not going the way I wanted it to go. So sometime last year, I had the voice of God in my head. What's happening to you? You're not the person you used to be. You know, you're not the daughter I used to know you to be. So, are you going to come back to me, or are you going to continue to live this life? So I took upon myself, you know what? It's true that I've deviated from God for a while. And I'm going to take the decision to come closer to Him, to know Him more. And that was what I was sharing with our group, that if you are, as a child, if you are seated with the Word of God, no matter how far you go, He will always send His angels to draw you.
Yeah.
Through people, they will start speaking the Word of God to you. And that thing will click what your parents must have been telling you. Or you find yourself in a situation that you call upon Him, and He will answer you and be like, what have I been doing all this while? So, this year, I took that decision that I'm going to get close to God. I started doing my prayers, reading my Bible, coming to church, joining Bible studies. And whenever it's that time for me to come for Bible studies, things, there will just be a way for someone to take care of the kids for me to come to Bible study. And when it's time for me to go to church, before I wake up late, but that there's always that hand, invisible hand, tapping me. Once it's 8 o'clock, it's time for you to get ready for church. You see? And ever since, things have been changing in my life. Things that get me angry don't get me angry anymore. There's some certain things that when someone do to me on a normal day, I would have flared up, I would get so angry, but I just overlook it. There's this fulfillment, there's this joy, there's this happiness within me, like that. So all these things I was missing. You know, when you don't have the Lord, you feel there's this disease, emptiness. But when you invite Him, because He will never force you to accept Him, but just He's always there when you open up to Him. All He needs is for you to welcome Him, and He will come into your life and have changes. It might not be speedily, like she says, since the Archdeacon's wife said, but it's a slow process, but you definitely see the changes. And things have been working out. Even now, when I go to job, I pray and I declare things and it happens. You know, even when I was in my new job, I just started, I said, God, this job I started, please use me to minister to these people so they will know you. Then even if they don't know you, Lord, use me as an instrument. Let them welcome me, let them accept me. And things have been happening and I'm so happy. So that's a positive decision I took upon myself. I'm happy that my life is changing for me.
It's wonderful. I think I can probably sit down now, actually. That was really great. Thank you for sharing that. And that is just that step of obedience, isn't it, really, and making that right decision. That's brilliant. Thank you. There are so many stories in the Bible about choices and decisions, but the one that really we've heard of this morning, when we had the reading, that really felt God was wanting us to unpick and dig a little bit deeper into this afternoon, is that story of Martha and Mary. And really, I'm going to read it again because it's only a short passage, but I want us to think about whether we make good choices or whether we make God choices. Because this story is about two women, and neither of them made bad choices, but one of them made a God choice. Okay, so just have that in your mind, and I'll just read it again. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." So this is the story of two sisters, isn't it? And it's the story of two sisters that would have had a very similar upbringing. They lived in the same community, they knew Jesus, they had all of that in common. But the reaction to his visit was very different. But there are similarities and differences between the two of them. They were both close friends with Jesus, and together with their brother Lazarus, they'd hosted Jesus in their home on more than one occasion, so he was known to them. And yet on this visit that we read of today, they chose two very different actions. And the way that Jesus reacted to their choices is a very valuable lesson, I think, for us all today. So let's have a little think about the story. So first of all, Martha is worried. So again, just put yourself into the story, because that's quite powerful, isn't it? And I don't know about you, you'll already know in your own heart whether you are a Mary or whether you are a Martha. And we definitely fall into that category or the other, don't we? So Martha's worried. She's rushing around. She's serving. She's doing her best to make everything good for this really special friend that's coming to visit. And where was Mary when Martha needed a hand? Well, she was sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he had to say. Are you a Mary or a Martha? Hands up if you're a Martha. There's no judgment here. Yeah, absolutely. I'm a Martha. I've got to say, I would be the one worrying about whether the cupboards needed dusting, whether the Hoover had been done efficiently when my visitors came, whether there was enough nice coffee to give them. I would be the one doing that fussing and faffing about. I really would. When I was preparing this, I was speaking to Jess, my daughter, who lots of you will know. And if you ever meet Jess, she is the most laid-back, horizontal person you'll ever meet. She will never, ever have high blood pressure or anxiety or a problem, I'm sure, because she is absolutely, utterly chilled. And I said to her, "Where would you be in this story?" She went, "Well, I'd be right at Jesus' feet." I thought, "Yeah, you would. And I'd be the one in the kitchen making the tea." Absolutely. And, you know, she would make the God choice and I would make the good choice. And they're different, aren't they? It's not bad to run around and make your guests feel welcome. It's not a bad decision to make, but it's not the godly one, is it, in this story? She's definitely Mary, my Jess. And we agreed that I would be the Martha. I would be the one running around. And Jess would be the one giving Jesus a full attention. That's what we talked about. And it's pretty easy, isn't it, to imagine how that made Martha feel. Irritated and frustrated and resentful. Why should she be doing all the work? Why should she? You know, they were both sisters, both had equal standing in the household. Why was she the one always in the kitchen, not entertaining the guests? Why did that befall to her? Wasn't it only right that Mary should be giving her a hand and helping out? You know, putting the kettle on and bringing out the best china. That was only right, only fair. And just like sisters, it just reminded me of the children that I work with this. You know, tell him it's not fair. You know, look what he's doing. You know, don't you think it's wrong that she's leaving me to do all the work? That's just typical sibling rivalry, isn't it? You can just imagine, if those of you have got your own children, that kind of thing being said, can't you? You know, it's not fair. I'm always in the kitchen doing the dishes and he's always sat there doing whatever he likes to do. And obviously Jesus' response was really telling, wasn't it? But Martha had said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." And you can imagine, can't you? I love the way the Bible talks about Jesus saying, "Martha, Martha." You can imagine him going, "Martha, Martha, you know, how many times have we talked about this? Surely you recognise that it's more important to sit in my presence, to be with me, to get close to God, to make a God decision and not a good decision. And yet here you are again, making that wrong choice. Well, I don't know about you, but that resonates really deeply with me, because I'm pretty sure that God must smack his forehead metaphorically very often when he looks at the choices that I make in my life, within the home, within my relationships, within my workplace. I'm pretty sure that God must think, Bev, how many times have we had this conversation? Why are we having this conversation again? You said last time that you're going to make the right choice, and here we are again. Because we're all human beings, aren't we? And we do get it wrong. None of us get it right all the time. But can you imagine how Martha must have felt when Jesus responded like that? It must have been a bit of a slap in the face for her, wasn't it? Because she really thought he was going to say, yeah, come on, Mary, get up. Go and make me a cup of coffee. You know, she really thought, like a child does when they come to the parent, that the parent was going to tell the other child off. You can imagine that's a response she was expecting Jesus to. She was full of self-righteousness and she was indignant. And she really thought that Jesus was going to be on her side and say, yeah, come on, do your share as well. She was doing everything in her power to be hospitable and to make it good. And Mary just sat there. And what she was doing, was that the right thing? Does it sound familiar to you? Can you relate to that? Mm-hmm. I definitely can. I'm going to just get my bag of tricks out now. My Mary Poppins bag, as Catherine said before. Pop that back down there. So this bag is full of lots of things that you'll all be well familiar with, I'm sure. But we do have things in our lives, don't we? Decisions that we make, things that we fill our time with that you'll all relate to. So we're all women here. I'm sure you've all got one of these in your bathrooms or something similar to it. You know, we do, we all think that, you know, this is so important, isn't it? Like the story just then, making sure our houses are clean, are fragrant, are, you know, nice places for people to come into. That seems to be important. And yes, it is. It's a good choice to make sure you've got a clean home. It's not necessarily a God choice all the time, though, is it? We can also fill our time with other things. I am a rubbish cook, so if ever I invite you to my house, have your tea before you come. But some people really enjoy spending time baking and cooking and, you know, lots of time in the kitchen. That's a good thing to do. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to do. But it can be a distraction. What else have I got? It could be that you think this is a priority. So self-care, beauty, makeup. I'm ashamed to say that I do not face the day without my mascara on, because I wouldn't inflict that on the world. But you know, some people that's a priority, other people not so much. Again, it's not a bad thing, but it can become a distraction if it's the only thing that we focus on. What else have I got in here? Oh, I've brought a really old Kindle. This is my pride and joy, but it is a bit old now. But again, you know, reading is a good thing. It can broaden your horizons. And I'm talking about secular reading. I don't necessarily mean reading the Bible or books about God. They're not bad. I go on holiday and it's the only time I really do read. And I usually try and balance it. So I'm reading something of God and a couple of, you know, trashy things that I can just let fly over my head as well. But I always make sure I'm trying to get that balance right, that I don't just read secular stuff. But that can also become a massive distraction, can't it? Reading in itself is a good thing, but if it becomes the thing that, you know, it really is the only thing that you think about, it's not a good thing. What else have I got in here? I've got a picture of, this is my family from a long, long time ago. I've not got hair that colour now, and the kids tower above me now, but it's the only one I could grab on my way out the door this morning. Family is a good thing. It's a blessing from God, an absolute blessing. It's a good thing. Friends and family, relationships within the Christian community are so, so good, but they're not necessarily always the God thing, are they? They're a gift from God, definitely, but we can't let them take precedence over our relationship with God. So I'll pop that to one side. And then I've got two more things in here. This one is more me. Not that I have a drink problem, but I do like to socialise. I like to go out for a meal. I like a glass of wine. I like being with friends. I like being with family. That's a good thing. Socialising, having a life is a good thing, but it can't be the thing that defines us. So it's good in its place. And this last one, if you know me well, you'll laugh at this. But this is definitely a good thing. This is a cheapy version of a Fitbit. I think I've worn it once since I bought it. Exercise, keeping fit, is a good thing. Unfortunately, I don't do enough of it. It's a good thing. But again, it can be the thing that drives you, can't it? I know people that is all they think about. And that, although it's not bad in itself, it's not necessarily a God thing. I could have carried on and on, couldn't I? I could have literally filled the bag with lots more things. There'll be things in your own lives that you know are things that you can very easily get hooked up with. It might be TV, it might be going to the cinema, it might be any number of things, jigsaw puzzles, stamp collecting, I don't know what your thing is. But there are things that we have in our lives that we can make choices about that can become more important to us than the God that's blessed us with these things in the first place. So I just thought that would just hook a little bit with that story. So, let me just find my place again. It really is about getting our priorities right, isn't it, I think. And as women, certainly choices within the home, we've got to make sure we make the right choices. And we've got to align our priorities. Otherwise, we're going to be like a ping pong ball that's sort of just like pinging around all over the place with no actual direction. And that can be a dangerous place to be. So it really is about making God choices and not necessarily good choices. It can be so easy for us to get wrapped up in all the things that we need to do and the things that need to be accomplished, and we lose sight of the things that actually matter. And the great thing about me standing here saying this is I'm absolutely preaching to the converted, because I am the world's worst for getting my priorities wrong. I am well qualified to stand here and talk to you about making God choices, because 9 times out of 10 I think about that after I've made the good choice, not the God choice, and I'm being very honest with you there. So please don't think I've got it all sorted, because I definitely haven't. But Jesus makes it really clear in the parable of the sower when he talks about he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. We can get so bogged down with good things. It can be good things, not bad things. We can get bogged down with the cares of the world. I watched, I don't often sit and watch the news for too long because I do find it quite depressing, but I watched the whole Brexit thing the other night, and I was like, oh my goodness, what are these people doing? Where's God in this, you know? And it can get really frustrating. I could have sat for hours watching that and getting really depressed about the state of our country, but I know that God is sovereign. But we can let the cares of the world, can't we? You hear bad news on the TV, you hear of bad news within your friendships and people that you know, and you can let that really distract you from God. But I think it's about getting that priority again. And if we allow ourselves to get bogged down with the cares of the world, or to get distracted with the riches of the world, then we become a Christian that is no more use than a chocolate teapot, in effect, because we're ineffective. And that's when we lose our saltiness and we lose our light, don't we? I really do believe, and again, I'm preaching to myself here, it's really not that I'm saying I get this right all the time, but the highest priority in each and every one of our lives has got to be, just like Mary did, to choose the good part, to choose the God part of that story, to learn of Jesus so that we can become more like him. Because if we don't, we're that ping pong ball all over the place, aren't we? It's a love and devotion to him that makes everything else of secondary importance. It's not saying that these things are not good and they're not important and the choices that we make are not good and right, but it's about putting Jesus at the heart of what we do, and everything else comes from that. And that's the right way to have our priorities. It's to seek the riches of wisdom and understanding that are in him. And if we don't do this, how can we follow him? How can we be his disciple? I think you just shared, didn't you, when you were sharing your word then about, you know, you heard God saying to you, are you the daughter that I knew? What's going on with you? You know, and I think God does nudge us sometimes back in that right direction. Mm-hmm. He'll only let us go so far, and then he'll say, hey, come on now, let's have you back, because this is not what we agreed, and this is not the way you're meant to live your life. I think Catherine mentioned before discipleship, and it's been a big part of my life. And discipleship, really, it's another word for being a follower of Christ. That's what a disciple is. A disciple is an apprentice, a learner of Jesus. And we're all learners, aren't we? And it doesn't matter. I've been a Christian since I was 15, 16, and I'm now 50. Some people might have only been a Christian 6 months. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. We're all still learning. We're all on that learning journey with God, aren't we? So we're all learning to be more like our master. And as a disciple, if we follow him more closely, we become more like him. And that helps us to make those right choices. We're less likely to make the good choices and not the God choices the closer we walk with Jesus. And that is definitely true. So becoming more like Mary is not an excuse to be lazy, as I pointed out to my daughter when she said she'd be sat at Jesus' feet. Because it can be perceived as lazy, can't it? You know, Martha's running around, she's the busy one, she's the one that's making sure everything's right, and Mary's sat chilling at Jesus' feet. And looking at, as an outsider into that situation, you might think, well, wouldn't you think she'd at least get up and put the kettle on? You know, it's not right, really. And they could both sit down together and listen to Jesus. But she made the God choice, not the good choice. So it's not saying we can just be lazy and take no responsibility for anything, because that's another trap, completely different to that one. James 1 verse 22 tells us that we are to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word. So if Mary just sat there at Jesus' feet and they did nothing with that learning that she acquired from that, then she wouldn't really be effectively working as a disciple. But if she spent time with Jesus, if she soaked up his presence, she listened to his direction and then applied it in her life, then we're talking. And that's where we need to be getting to as followers of Jesus, isn't it? Mary understood that she needed to learn more of her master and to seek the things that have eternal value. And it's when we do that that we can become a blessing. And actually, not to do that is quite selfish. Have you ever thought about that? Because we are meant to be a blessing to each other. We're meant to be encouragers of each other. We're meant to build each other up as sisters of Christ. That's our role. That's our heritage. And if we're not filled up with God ourselves, how can we help the person next to us? Often when I'm speaking in our church and every opportunity I get, I'll use this analogy and it really does speak to me a lot. You know when you're on an aeroplane and they're doing the safety announcements before the plane takes off, and they often say to you, if in case of oxygen dropping in the cabin, this mask will fall down. And they always say, secure your own mask before you help the person next to you. Mm-hmm. And that's because if you've got a child next to you or a vulnerable person next to you, you are no use to them if you pass out because you've got no oxygen. And it's a bit like that as a Christian, isn't it? It's not being selfish to spend time with God. It's not being selfish to say, do you know what, I'm going to switch everything off, take myself away in a quiet place, get the Bible out, get on my knees, talk to God, be in his presence. That is not selfish. That is a really healthy thing to do. It's making a God choice and not necessarily a good choice. A good choice might be going to your neighbours with a bunch of flowers because you know she's not being very well. That's great too. But you need to come from that place where you're filled up with God before you then give out. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Another little thing on our staff room wall at school, which also speaks of this, is talking about filling up your own cup before you pour into somebody else's. And if you take that in a spiritual analogy with you know, a Jesus sort of sentiment to it, it really is about filling up yourself with God and with his word and with his presence before you pour into somebody else, because you can't pour from an empty cup, which is true, isn't it? We can all fall into the danger of the other trap that Martha did, because Martha was so troubled by what we perceive as negative behaviour in others. She was bothered that Jesus would think she wasn't welcome enough, or that the house wasn't tidy enough, or that the tea wasn't hot enough. So all those things that we can get bogged down with. And we can get quite self-righteous sometimes in our own good works, can't we? But these thoughts are not from God. They are from the enemy. They're from the enemy. And he's the one to undermine us. He will tell us, what do you think you're doing that for? That's not right. What will people think of you if you say that or do that or spend some time with God? You know, you should be doing, you know, charitable works or whatever it might be. And we can get really led astray by thoughts that come into our minds, pressures from outside, talk of the enemy that can really distract us from what it is that God's got for us. But the devil is the one behind these thoughts. He will whisper lies and accusations into our hearts and minds. He'll tell us we're not good enough. He'll tell us why would God choose you. He'll tell us that, you know, there's far more able people than you to do that role or take on that job. Why would God choose you? But we've not to believe those lies because they are not of God. So I think it's about being really discerning about what it is that you're hearing and testing whether it's from God or not. And again, you can't do that if your cup's empty. If your cup's not full of the knowledge of God, if your cup's not full of the Holy Spirit in your life, you're not in a place where you can discern what's right and what's wrong. And you get those good choices and God choices completely mixed up sometimes, in a very, you know, accidental sense, don't you? So going back to our story, the wrong choice that Martha made wasn't that she was serving and doing good. It was that in her work, she was making demands and she was criticising Mary. So she wasn't showing a very godly attitude towards her sister, was she? Rather than doing what Jesus had taught himself, living as God wants us to do means putting him first. It means doing everything for him, carrying out his will and seeking only his approval for the things that we do. And again, I'm going to be really honest and say that's something that I really do struggle with. I struggle with it in my role at work. I want my team that I lead to say, oh, we think you did that really well. Thank you for doing that. Really enjoyed that. We liked your staff meeting that you led on, whatever it was. And if people don't say that, quite often we can feel, was I not very good? Did people not enjoy that? And really, our approval and our stamp really needs to come from what God thinks about us. We touched on that earlier on. It really doesn't matter what other people think. And I know as human beings and as women in particular, we do get bogged down with what other people think about us, don't we? It matters what our friends think. It matters what people that we meet think about us. But actually, if we can really get to that place where it only matters what God thinks about us, then we're in a far better place, a far better place. So we've got to put him first. We've got to carry out his will. Living before the face of man means that you seek the approval of other humans for your actions. And when you think about it, that's such a silly thing to do, isn't it? Because humans are failed and failures, and we get it wrong, and we make a mess, and we're broken, and we're damaged. So why on earth do we seek approval from people that are just as broken as we are when we've got the Holy God? We've sang about him before. He's majestic. He's awesome. He's amazing. You know, he's the one that we need to rubber stamp our actions, not a man that we might meet in the street or somebody that we might meet at work. And I think it really is about rising above all the noise and things that come from life in this world and just realigning our priorities really carefully. So what I want us to do now, just for, we'll have 5 minutes this time, I think we had 5 minutes last time really, so we'll have 5 minutes, and I just chat again to the person next to you or the people in your little group. And if you can, just be vulnerable, because there's something quite liberating and healing about sharing what's on your heart. And I think probably what it's worth to say is, if you talk to the person next to you and you share something, then it stays within that pair or that threesome. We don't share it out of that. So there's a confidentiality and a feeling of being able to speak comfortably to each other about it. So have a little think about something that maybe you struggle with, something that can take place of God in your life, a priority maybe that you need to readdress, to realign, to make sure that God is number one in our life. And then when we've done that, if that's okay, we'll have a little prayer time. I'll lead some prayer, and we'll just pray that God will minister in those situations. Is that okay? So we've got, it's 10 past, we've got till 10:15 just to share. Is that all right? Okay. Thank you. Because I do really think it's about giving God time to prompt us, isn't it? And just to nudge us, really, and to respond to that. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are a great and amazing God. And we thank you, God, that we sang a song earlier about we stand before you in royal robes that we don't deserve. And God, there's not one of us in this room deserves the place in your kingdom that you give to us, God. But because of your grace and because of your Son, we can stand here, Lord, knowing that that is a promise that is a fact and a reality. And so I just thank you, God, for each and one of these people here today. They are daughters of you, and you love each and every one of them, God. I thank you for your word that tells us that you know every hair on our head and that you love us so intimately. And so, God, I just pray for the conversations that have been happening this afternoon. As we've been thinking about priorities, Lord, and we're all women, we're all busy ladies, and we all have lots of pressures and demands on our time in the home and outside the home, God. And so I just pray, Lord, that you'll really just minister to people's hearts, that it won't just stop as they go from this place today. That you'll really speak into situations, Lord, into circumstances, into relationships, that you will have your way. And I pray, Lord, that there'll be a real sense of healing and of your touch and of your peace, God. And Lord, I really pray that you'll stir a passion up within us, that you'll stir a passion within us, God, for your truth and your word and your presence, God, and a passion for revival. Because, Lord, we've only got this one chance in this earthly life to live for you. And so I just pray, God, that you will just, even as we've got our heads bowed before you now, that your Holy Spirit will move around this place. And God, I just pray that you will just touch and heal and nudge and challenge each and every one of us just where it's needed, God. And just remembering, Lord, that you know everything about us. You know our comings and our goings. You know the cares on our hearts and you know the joys that we have, Lord. You know the struggles and the battles that we face. You know what's going to be tomorrow and next week and next year. God, you know the times we let you down and yet still you love us. You pursue us, Lord, with your relentless love. So, Father God, I just pray a mighty, mighty blessing and a mighty healing power on every single person here today, God. That you'll just work in us over the next few hours, the next few weeks, the next few months, that you'll continue your purpose, Lord, in us, that you'll transform us, that we'll go from strength to strength and from glory to glory as we become more like you, God, and that you perfect your work in us. And I just thank you, God, for the privilege and the blessing of just being loved by you. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we're nearly there. It's very easy. I'm 2 more minutes, Bree. Sorry. Yep. I've gone a minute. She said an hour and I've got 10 minutes left yet. It's very easy to fall into the trap, isn't it? Particularly as a woman, of being a human doing and not a human being. And I'm not being sexist. I love my husband and he's brilliant. But he's a man. And he's a human being, and he's not a human doing. And the other day we had a chat and we came up with this analogy, and this made me smile, but it's very true. So Roy says that in our relationship, I am the activist. No, I'm not. I'm the instigator, and he is the activist. And it's a bit like Nana was sharing before with the head and the neck thing. The two things are very much in tandem, but I come up with the ideas in our relationship. So it might be, I don't know, let's paint the bathroom pink. I don't know. I come up with the ideas. But then Roy actions my ideas by painting the bathroom. He wouldn't paint the bathroom pink, by the way. But that was, you know, that's so I have the idea. He activates the thought. So I think as women, we are naturally doers, aren't we? I don't know about you, but there's a thing about multitasking, isn't there? I multitask. I cannot sit and watch the TV without doing something on my laptop or texting a friend or polishing the cupboard. I don't just do one thing at a time. I never do. I'm not saying that's a good thing, by the way. It's not a good thing. But certainly I can fall into the trap of being a human doing and not a human being. And I think if you think again of that story of Martha and Mary, Martha was a human doing. She was busy. She was, you know, all for good reasons. She was rushing around. She was making sure that Jesus felt welcomed and loved and comfortable. But she was not being a human being, whereas Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and she was being in Jesus' presence. She was being a human being. And I know it's a play on words, but I really do think we fall into that trap, as women in particular, of being a doing and not a being. Doing in itself is not a bad thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. Like we said before, all these lovely things that God blesses us with are not bad things. But doing in place of being is not a good thing. It's certainly not a God thing. And if you think of nothing else today, I think when you go from this place, just ask yourself, am I a being or am I a doing? And if you're more of a doing than a being, sort it out, because it's not good for you at all. God doesn't require us to be machines, does he? And he doesn't want us to fill our time up with lots of things. Even noble Christian things. You know, going to prayer meetings, visiting your neighbour, feeding the poor and helping the sick and all of that. They're all really good things. But we can become consumed by them, and we can find our worth in them instead of spending time in God's presence. And I'm not saying that they're not things that we need to be doing, but I think we need to get our priorities right first, and that comes from that place. Sometimes we just need to stop, don't we? We need to stop being human doings and just be. Just be in God's presence. Just be still. Just be quiet. Just be there. And just be who we were created to be in Jesus. And I really do think it's about making God choices and not good choices. I'm going to finish with a passage from Scripture that is my absolute favourite. And then my mum's going to share something that that really fits in, that I didn't know about till we were chatting earlier. So it's something that I think somebody sent you, didn't they, you're going to share with us. So it's Psalm 139. I'll just read it to you, because sometimes it's nice just to listen to God's word, isn't it? I absolutely love this psalm. It's just wonderful. So again, really personalise this and think about, you know, yourself in this situation. So you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I am awake, you are still with me. Amen.
Amen.
Do you want to come up and share?
Yeah, I'll just do it for me. It's something I've got on my phone. It was a message that Tracy sent me, and it, believe it or not, it's 2 years ago. And I have read it time and time again myself, and I thought, there's probably a time when you can use that. But this was email here long before we thought about the ladies' weekend. And I know we're all called by God, and we're, you know, He gives us all the purpose, but we don't always see that. Sometimes we feel inadequate, and we see other people, and we've heard a lot of good, like, speakers today, and testimonies and things like that. But sometimes we can think that, well, that's, you know, I don't do anything like that. You can begin to feel inadequate. There's lots of people in the Bible that were called and used by God, and so are we if we're only letting. And this, it's 10 people actually that I've got down on there. The first, it says to all women, be an Esther, bold and courageous enough to stand for the truth, to voice your opinion and fight for the good of others, even when it means to sacrifice yourself. If God has put you in a position, this is for a purpose. Never be afraid to heed to that inner voice. Be a Ruth, loyal in all your relationships. Walk the extra mile and don't quit when things get tough. Someday you'll see why it was all worth the effort. Be a Lydia. Let your homes be open. Let your hands be generous. Let your hearts be big enough to help anyone in need. Joy is greatest when it's shared. Be a Hannah. Never cease to pray. It will never be in vain. Be a Mary. Humble and submissive. You don't have to be great for God to use you. You just need to obey. Be a Dorcas. Use your talents, however small it may seem, to bring a smile on someone's face. You'll never know how much it can mean to that someone. Mm. Be an Abigail. Remember how each decision can turn your life around for good or for bad. We've just heard someone like that. Be wise. Be an Elizabeth. Never doubt what God can do. Miracles do happen. Be a Mary Magdalene. Never let your mistakes and judgments of other people stop you from experiencing true joy in Jesus. Be a Rebecca. Never forget that true beauty lies within. Draw your man closer to God through your character. And then it's a sure list with all women to encourage them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bev. I hope that encouraged everyone. We're now due to go into a time of worship. Oh, God knows. Right, okay. So talk among yourselves. If you want, take a toilet break. We're a bit early.
kitchen.
Yeah, I'll get one in here.
We have our
just putting everything away. Drink water.